I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show for you tonight, jam-packed with information as usual, focusing on self-empowerment and mastering personal power. Now, before we get into the heart of the show, I'd like to pass on a couple of toll-free numbers in case people would like to phone in any questions at any time during the show. And that's in the United States, toll-free 888-876-5227. That's 888-876-5227. And in Canada, it's toll-free 888-815-9756. That's Canada toll-free 888-815-9756. Now, as usual on ET Yoga, I like to remind people that they may find it convenient to have a paper and pencil handy in case they'd like to write down something they'd like to research later. And I'd like to start out this evening with a couple of news flashes. And the first news flash is, if you haven't heard about the Bashar Peace Clock, be a part of this worldwide event, and wherever you are at noon every day, perform a silent meditation for worldwide peace. And this started some 15 years ago, and if you haven't heard about it, I really encourage you to take part in this. If you're following along with ET Yoga and you're involved with and learning about self-empowerment, mastering personal power, and creating your own experiences or perception of them in 3D, then you're aware of the fact of how important it is for all of us to put out positive energy, because we're going to determine our outer experience as a group on this planet. And I really hope that you will take a minute of your time at noon every day and be part of that worldwide Bashar Peace Clock. Second news flash, for those who haven't heard about the power of water from Masaru Emoto, and that's E-M-O-T-T-O. And I just think this is one of the most amazing discoveries of our time. And it certainly reflects to a lot of the Pleiadian and Syrian teachings with respect to water. And as it turns out, and it's been proven now, that water is a perfect reflector of consciousness. And the amazing thing about Dr. Emoto's discovery is that you can check this out on your internet under the power of water, and you can actually see the molecular change in water visually as it's given different vibrations. And it's just incredible to see the beautiful snow-like crystals that the molecules change to when exposed to vibrations of love and positive vibrations and emotions. And to see the sort of distorted and disharmonic contortions that the molecules change into when they are given negative emotion. And for those people that sometimes talk in spiritual terms to others, and sometimes get that kind of glazed look in the other person's eye, and they don't really believe anything is really possible, or the thought actually has an impact on anything around them, this is a place to send them. If you can check out this website and come away with thinking that the power of thought is not important, well, then I guess there's no convincing you. So my suggestion is check out Masaru Emoto. He has a book out actually called The Power of Water. And by the way, what does that actually mean in practical terms with respect to what you could do with this latest discovery? Well, I can tell you one of the things I'm doing with it. I like to buy pure water in 18-liter containers, and ideally those would be glass. And the techniques that I've been doing with water is basically putting a Sri Yantra, a yogic meditation symbol, on the side of the jars, because clearly the vibration from the Sri Yantra will reflect in the water. And also, I really like the crop circles, because each of the crop circles has a different frequency, and I mix up and use different colored crop circles that I got from Janosch Sacred Geometry. So it's J-A-N-O-S-H if you're looking to find some beautiful colored crop circles that you could use to put on the outside of the jars of water. And some other suggestions would be Jonathan Goldman's Holy Harmony CD. This is involved with sacred sounds and healing codes, which would be a phenomenal vibrational tool also to use with the water in terms of the area of music. And if you haven't heard about Atlantean Healing Technologies from Earl B. Hall, he has actually the Metatron CDs called Multidimensional Journey, Natural Balance, Cosmic Connection, and Metatron's Harmonic Symphony. These would all be very beneficial to play on a ghetto blaster in front of your water to put those kinds of positive frequencies into the water. And another one of the techniques that I use quite frequently is the classical music of Beethoven and Bach, which have also been proved scientifically to have a beneficial effect on DNA, and consequently also would have a beneficial effect on your water. They're doing further studies now with respect to even words, because everything has a frequency, and words themselves, like writing the word healing and putting it on a piece of paper outside the water is going to reflect that vibration. So if you find that you're a little skeptical about this, try and have an open mind. Check out Dr. Masaru Emoto and The Power of Water. Okay, moving on now to a couple of quotes that I found quite impressive. One of the quotes from Bashar, and for those who haven't tuned into Bashar, that's www.bashar.org. And the quote of the day from Bashar is that there are only two objective facts. What are they? Number one, that everything was created with unconditional love. And two, we each have individual awareness. Only two objective facts. I like that one. And from the Pleiadians, we have a quote from the old classic from the Bringers of the Dawn, and channeled by Barbara Marciniak. I am a creator. I am here to create a safe and bountiful life. By vibration and frequency, I choose to be healthy, productive, and wise. I have great gratitude for my abilities to recognize that thoughts produce frequencies, and I can create a frequency that supports the safe, probable world I live in by directing my energy toward what I want to experience. I work through life with clear, conscious intent to weave my energy like a gossamer thread in a large and beautiful tapestry throughout the world that I encounter. I fully realize that a multitude of probabilities and belief systems exist side by side with mine. And in mine, I am safe. In mine, I am guided. In mine, I love and trust my body. In mine, I know my cells are precognitive and that I am a co-creator of the multiverse. I know I am a valuable being. I know that I will receive the impulses, the signs, and signals and guidance that I require to always be in the right place at the right time for my highest good, and that all of, and for those all around me. All this I know, and for this I am most grateful. And a simplified version of this is one that I try to use in the mornings, and it goes like this. It is my intention to be always in alignment with my higher self. It is my intention to give love and receive love in all things I do. It is my intention to always be in the right place at the right time. It is my intention to be successful in all things I do. It is my intention to enter the unknown in joy, safety, and harmony. And it is my intention to realize full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Well, I hope those news flashes and quotes found a spot in your heart tonight. And now I would like to move on to the focus of tonight's show, which will be concerning mastering personal power. And before I get into the mastering part, I would like to give a brief review of 10 fundamental concepts which relate to the complete understanding of this issue. And with respect to self-empowerment, the first concept is that the universe was created with unconditional love. And this, of course, relates back to Bashar's statement that we used at the top of the show, that the universe was created with unconditional love. And I guess the proof of that basically is when you really go down through all your core beliefs, you'll get down to one of the most fundamental beliefs, which is dealing with fear and dealing with the fear of death. And underlying the fear of death, actually between that and your higher self, you will come across an energy of frustration that came about from the separation from the higher self. And at the very core of all the beliefs will be unconditional love. And this is the frequency that your higher self is in alignment with. So thus, when you approximate that frequency, you are most in alignment with your higher self. Second concept, that your experience in third dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions, and your outer reality is a mirror reflection. I find this one to be really the most critical with respect to our society at this time, because we do hear so much talk about blame and complaint and justification with respect to events that occur both in our personal lives and on a larger scale. And to really take this concept to heart, I think you need to realize that we are co-creators of our third dimensional reality, and that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions are the primary tools by which the outer reality and experience is created. And this leads to the third concept, which is that you are 100% responsible for your experience. Once you take 100% responsibility for your experience, there's nobody to blame. It kind of really frees you up from a lot of emotional baggage, also frees you up from wasting a lot of time criticizing others or blaming others or justifying your situation. Because the bottom line is that what we basically complain about and justify, we created. And it doesn't mean that you're to blame for everything. It really means that you have the ability to respond. So responsibility in this sense, in information coming from extraterrestrial sources, indicates that it's not about blaming. It's about the ability. Responsible means you have the ability to respond. And because you created it, you then have the power to fix it. If you are in a state where you are blaming, complaining, and justifying whenever you catch yourself in those situations, realize that all you're creating yourself for yourself is you're creating yourself as a victim. So blame, complaint, justification. Create victimhood. Now, if you're taking responsibility, there's nobody to blame. And I know it's easy for us to take credit for the good things and blame for the other things, but the truth of the matter is, it's take 100% responsibility. And it just not only frees you up from all kinds of old emotional baggage, but it actually is the first step in creating your personal power, which we'll be coming to in a few minutes. Now, the fourth concept that I think is one of the biggest secrets that how it's escaped humanity all this time, especially those people who are involved with psychology, is frankly beyond me, but the fourth concept is that all events are inherently neutral. We place value judgments on external events. The truth of the matter is that external events do not come with built-in meaning. For some odd reason, we've gone through centuries believing that everybody experiences the same things in the same way, and they just don't. I mean, if you use common logic, you'll concede that the same event can be a happy experience for one and a negative experience for another person. Events do not come with built-in meaning. And Bashar was the first that I've ever been close to that really comes forth and really makes this really clear, because it's just huge. Events come and we place negative judgments or positive judgments on them, and in reality how it works is that when you place positive judgments on external circumstances, you end up getting a positive experience. And when you place negative judgments on external events, you end up with a negative experience. And I've been challenging people for months now on ET Yoga to give it a shot. Like, as soon as you come up with a situation that you think's a real downer, and this is really negative, and you can't see anything positive about it, even if you can't see any possible way that this could come out good, I highly suggest just say to yourself, I don't see how anything possibly good can come from this, but I'm going to put a positive spin on this situation. And let's see how it turns out. And I challenge you to do this. And what you're going to find is you're going to be amazed at just how much you do control what's going to follow. And in expanding on that with teachings from the Esasani, teachings from Bashar, he goes even further to say that external events don't matter. The only thing that really matters is your state of being. And if you think about it, our brain and the heart that they're calling now is actually 5,000 times stronger than the vibration that's put out into the brain and the head. So, and it emits an energy field that's been proven about 10 feet from the human body. So what we're talking about is that our emotions are a very, very vital part in creating that external perception of reality. And that by creating the emotion that you want, let's say joy, so Bashar would say external circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Well, if you prefer the state of joy, then be the state of joy and then see the circumstance through that state that you prefer and act on it from that perspective. And if you start getting in the habit of doing that, what you're going to see is you start creating positive events all over the place. In fact, I call it stacking the deck of life in your favor. No matter what the circumstance is, throw a positive spin on it. How could there possibly be any positive result of throwing a negative spin on anything? I mean, how that could be to your advantage would be totally beyond me. But throwing a positive spin on external circumstances is definitely the way to go. So, to me, this is a huge, it's a huge concept that I've been involved with yoga masters, been involved with extraterrestrial channelings for decades, and never heard this one before. And to me, it's the number one most practical thing you can do. In fact, Bashar would say, if you want to try to make life simple, you've got two basic tasks. And the first task is throwing a positive spin on everything. That's one of the tasks. And the second task is follow your excitement. Why should you follow your excitement? Because your excitement's in line with your higher self. And, of course, doing your excitement with integrity and morality. But the point being is that if you want to really simplify things, at any given moment, do the thing that's most exciting. And then do the next thing that's most exciting to the best of your ability. And when you run into circumstances, throw a positive spin on them. That's your job. That's the job of the rational mind, throwing a positive spin on external circumstances. In fact, if you would take that one another step further, Bashar would say that your persona is actually three things. Your higher self, your physical brain, and the rational mind. And the higher self is the part of you that conceives ideas. The physical brain is sort of the middleman between conceiving of those ideas, and the rational mind is the perceiver of the ideas. And the perceiver means that which has been perceived, what has happened. And then this is another shocker, and that's from Bashar Extraterrestrial Teachings, and that is that none of us has ever been capable of a creative thought, because the rational mind isn't capable of a creative thought. All those flashes of intuition and whatever, they all come from the higher self. And that's another one of those really amazing concepts that comes from channeled extraterrestrial information. Now, moving on, that thought creates. And another interesting concept, if you go through all the extraterrestrial teachings, Pleiadians, etc., the big focus is on thought creates. Now we're seeing programs such as The Secret coming out with, yes, how important our thoughts are in creating our external reality. The sixth concept, negativity, is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance. It is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Think about it. If all events are inherently neutral and you have a negative value judgment of something, then you've placed a negative judgment on a neutral event because all events are inherently neutral. Another one of those psychological brainstorming or whatever you want to call it, but it's just amazing that these ideas have never really surfaced in my experience, and I'm sure in many of others. Seventh, when you run energy through positive beliefs, which are in alignment with your higher self, the results are positive emotions, love, joy, excitement, magic, and peace. When you run energy through negative beliefs, which are not in alignment with your higher self, the results are negative emotions, like hate, anger, negative energy, synchronicity, and disharmony. So, again, here we are. Same event, positive emotion, love, joy, excitement, magic are the end results. Throw a negative spin on it, and you can have hate, anger, negative synchronicity, and disharmony. Eighth concept, when you incarnate in this dimension, you have four tasks. Function in 3D. Well, most of us do a pretty good job of that. Become aware that thoughts take time to manifest. Well, most of us are pretty good at that. And, you know, a lot of us don't think that thoughts manifest in eternity. Third, become aware of your illusion. That's the one we're going to focus on tonight, because a lot of people just don't get it when we say dealing with your illusion. Because your illusion is basically all based in fear. And the fourth concept, become one with your higher self. Ninth concept, there are only four laws in the universe. You exist, the all is one, and the one is all. What you put out is what you get back. That's commonly known as the law of attraction. And everything changes, even the fourth law, which turns to stasis and creates the first three laws. And the tenth concept is that acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. It is beyond forgiveness, because forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. Acceptance says that all is happening perfectly just as it is, because whatever is happening enables us to grow. This moves us into the energy of love, trust, and peace. Now, interestingly enough, two of the focal points of ET Yoga are self-empowerment and strengthening the immune system. And, as it so turns out, the farther you go with self-empowerment, the more you learn about strengthening the immune system and freeing yourself from disease or curing disease. And this information is certainly consistent with much of the extraterrestrial information concerning the thought creates, and that disease was created through dysfunctional emotions, and the public is starting to understand this concept. And If you believe thought creates, it's natural to conclude that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions create the outer experience. And if this is what creates our outer experience, then only negative beliefs and their accompanying emotions are at the root of all disease. Thus, everything sort of here is a connected, integrated whole. And I'd like to mention at this time that I have created a website that I call a one-stop shop for healing and maximizing your spiritual growth. I wanted to create a site that contains all the information you need to heal yourself, put your body in optimum immune condition, and to achieve a point of personal sovereignty. And the books at the site contain about 79 pages of condensed information and connects you to another 150 pages. Those are the e-books. And it's located at maxwellgreensite.com. That's Maxwell and Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And in addition, there's also some one-hour ET yoga shows that cover some of the topics that we have done over the past few months. And some of those topics include an extraterrestrial meditation. That's the most powerful one that I've ever been involved with. We talked about that a little bit last week's show with one of our callers. And I would like to say that we also brought up the concept for enhancing your immune system last week with respect to the Egyptian healing rods. If you haven't found out about the Egyptian healing rods yet, you can look up www.egyptianhealingrods.com. And I believe those were started through Sri Ramka and Kira Ra. And Russian research has indicated recently that 5 to 7 minutes a day utilizing the Egyptian healing rods is like a half hour of acupuncture. So personally, I like doing about 15 minutes a day, so I kind of like to think I'm doing about an hour and a half of acupuncture every day. And I highly recommend them. Are you looking for price? About $300. Now, with respect to that website, there are other interesting things. There are spiritual techniques, everything from healing, increasing the immune system all the way up to healing any types of disease. Can anybody be healed? Well, everybody has the potential, but I say right on the beginning of the website, it takes a certain type of belief system to really be effective doing the homework, with doing the inner work and doing the right things to really heal. And if you are one of those people that believe in diagnosis, prognosis, chemotherapy, and you're really giving your power away to the medical system, I suggest you skip my website. It's probably not for you. And on that note, I'd like to mention that I also have some free downloads there at that site. The information I just gave you on self-empowerment is there as a free download, as well as advice for those in abusive relationships. And again, that's all about giving away power. And when you give your power away, typically people find that you get abused. And so there's a free download there. And if we have time tonight, I will give some information about that as well. I'd like to move on now to a channeling from Lisa Royale. And Lisa has been known primarily for channeling Germaine and for channeling a Pleiadian source called Sasha. And Germaine considers himself to be a non-physical group consciousness associated with the Orion Light, a future integrated version of the galactic family of which we on Earth are a part. He chose the name Germaine because of its English definition. Coming from the same source or significantly relevant to, there is no connection to Saint Germain. And now, from Germain, channeled by Lisa Royale. All right, this is Germain. The title of this article is Mastering Personal Power. We're going to begin with a very essential idea to understanding this whole concept. That is that personal power is not anything you need master, as if it is something you do not now have. Rather, it is something you already possess. In that case, then, instead of looking at it as mastering something you do not have, look at it like remembering how to use something you already have. each and every one of you, being sparks of creation, are 100% masters. You all know what it is like to exist. You all know how to manipulate energy. You all know how to live to the fullest extent of what you're capable of. This is something you needn't learn. However, here comes the challenge. Those of you who choose to incarnate in physical reality, especially on a planet such as your Earth, have a bit of a challenge. Part of the reason is Earth Plane was set up as a learning school. Because it is a learning school, obviously there must be challenges. Recognize these challenges are put in place for all of you to exercise your spiritual muscles, shall we say, for all of you to be all that you can be, and for each and every one of you to learn what there is to learn and to progress yourself and grow and to be of service to others. When you incarnate into this plane, there are a set of rules that you, by your agreement to incarnate, must follow. Some of those rules are quite obvious. One is that you will adhere to the laws of time and space. That is a fairly simple one. You all have that one down quite well. Another is that thought will take time to manifest reality. And another is that you will have a challenge of illusion that will be the greatest challenge that exists for you. As you recognize illusion for what it is, illusion and not reality, you then begin to remember the mastery that you have from the other realms. You cannot master personal power in physical reality while maintaining the idea of illusion. That is the challenge. For many of you do not know really what illusion is and why it is there and how you can see beyond it. Assuming then that you are already masters, how do you reawaken that mastery into your physical lives here on Earth? How do you see beyond the illusion? The easiest place to start is with whatever obstacles you see in your life. If you look at the idea of your spiritual mastery, your personal power, as being channeled through to you from a funnel, the obstacles are those things that clog the funnel. Once that funnel is clogged for any period of time, you forget that the funnel is there. You forget that the personal power energy is always channeling through. Therefore, those obstacles take on the form of illusion. They are confusing for you. They are like mirrors placed askew in many different directions, confusing you and directing you and using reflections rather than reality until you are looking in any direction except the direction of the funnel, the direction of your personal power. Recognize that when you came into physical reality, there is a structure, a portion of your consciousness which is a facilitator for your lives here in physical reality. You call that portion of you ego. Now, the ego is a neutral thing. It doesn't have to be a positive or negative thing. It is a neutral idea. It is a regulator. It is a facilitator. However, when too much power is given to that ego, that is when the ego becomes imbalanced. That's when illusion begins to form. That's when many of you have called the negative ego comes into play. Somewhere in the development of the ego, for many of you, not for all of you, when you've been faced with challenges which were meant to strengthen you, they were misconstrued into being fears that threaten you. And the first time that happened in your life is when the obstacles begin and illusion begins being formed. Prior to that time, you as souls incarnate on Earth are in your mastery. Now one may say, well, how can a little child be in their mastery? Recognize that if we are talking about infants, they do not have the motor skills to move their body in order to manipulate reality. This does not mean they are not masters. It simply means they are not yet developed in their motor skills. But the soul energy at that time that is being expressed onto the physical plane is entirely connected with that personal power. It is only when the ego is allowed to begin protecting you from your fear rather than guiding you to confront your fear, it is only until that point that mastery ends, so to speak, and illusion begins. Now, we are talking about a period of time very, very early in your development as a human. It can happen literally from the first few months of life. Or the ego creation of illusion to protect you from your fears may not happen until after several years of life. It is really different for each person. However, that is the point that you can trace back where the ego has begun building illusion and facade to protect you from perceived threats. It is at that point where the mastery of the personal power begins to take a back seat and survival begins to take a front seat. This does not have to occur this way. It has simply been a good way of coping for thousands of years. You then taught your children and your children taught their children until you've forgotten that each soul comes in as masters. If you could remember that, if you could begin teaching your children that and truly believing it, not pretending to believe it, you will find that your attainment of personal power would be more rapid, more complete, more easy, and with a lot less struggle. We're going to give you an analogy here, given to us by a good friend, that can demonstrate how the ego works to keep you from claiming your personal power. Here is the analogy. Let us say you have a mother and a daughter. The daughter decides that she would feel more comfortable with a gun in the house because there have been break-ins in the neighborhood. So she goes out and buys herself a fancy little pistol. She is very impressed with the beautiful handiwork of the pistol. She comes home and she is very proud. At this point, she has not really put the bullets in yet, so she has not felt the power that she has in her hand. But she is toying with the idea. She has the bullets in a little box and they are in the bag with the gun. So she comes home. Her mother is there and she says, "Mother, look, I bought this gun so we will feel safe and so we can protect ourselves." The mother looks at the gun with wide eyes and then looks back at the daughter and says, "Are you sure that you can handle that? Are you sure that you know how to shoot? Are you sure that you're not going to accidentally kill someone with that?" Suddenly the daughter's reality begins to shift. She starts questioning her own power. She starts questioning whether she really can handle that gun. And right then and there, she certainly decides that she is not putting any bullets in it. So she keeps the gun around for a few days without the bullets in it. Every once in a while, she picks it up and she plays with it. But there is a little bit of a sick feeling in the solar plexus. There is a little voice that says, "Are you sure that this was the right decision?" One day, she goes into the kitchen and her mother is standing there. She says, "Mother, I know that you took shooting classes when you were young, and I know you feel comfortable around a gun. So I would like to give you this gun, and I would like you to use this gun if we ever have an intruder. I would like you to use this gun because I don't feel that I really have the knowledge it takes nor the confidence it takes to carry this weapon." So the mother takes the gun, puts the bullets in it, and puts it in the drawer. For a few days, the daughter feels quite secure. But then every once in a while, she keeps eyeing the drawer, knowing what is in it, that, and knowing that the gun is there. This power that is now out of her hands because she is too afraid to use it. Day after day, she checks on that gun to make sure it's still there. One day, it's not in the drawer. In that day, she begins to be worried. She begins to harbor fantasies that her mother has taken the gun and has hidden it so that if she ever needs it, she won't be able to find it. Therefore, the symbol of power that she has chosen has been given away and is now hidden, and she doesn't know where to find it. You can see that there's a lot of different endings to this story, if one could say there ever is an ending. However, as long as the daughter worries about the mother's motivation with her symbol of power, as long as the daughter does not ask for the gun back, she will leave her security, her confidence, and her personal power in the hands of another. As each and every one of you are growing up, especially women and little girls, you are taught that power is a dangerous thing. And if you have power, you'd better darn know what to do with it. Otherwise, do not ever, ever ask for it. So you grow up and you go out into the world, and suddenly you realize that all the weapons or all the tools, whichever way you want to look at it, that were symbols of your own power, your own confidence, your own strength, are not present with you anymore. You open the toolbox and it is empty. The reason for this is because you've given it to other people to wield for you. You've never allowed yourself to train yourself with those tools so that you could feel confident and so that you can then stand fully empowered. This is the dynamic which humankind is now facing. Not only are you trying to get your power back, but more importantly, in the first step, you are trying to find where you put it or who has it, because if you have no idea where it is and why you gave it away to begin with, how can you ever seek to claim it back? So mastering personal power, first and foremost, is recognizing what it is in you that caused you to give it away in the first place. Is it fear? Is it self-hatred? What is it? And when you can begin to understand that, the answer will come as to who has your power. For instance, let us say that once you discover why you've given it away, then you look at who has it. You may find many different answers. Your government may have it. Your religion may have it. Your husband or wife may have it. Your society may have it. Your teachers may have it. In fact, anyone and everyone may have it other than you. When you begin to see to whom you've given your power and why, you will learn a tremendous amount about yourself. And we would suggest before you ever seek to gain personal power, first discover where you've put it. because otherwise you will not know how to recognize it. Therefore, if you can't recognize it, you can't claim it. Once you then have identified where you've put it, you can then seek the means to claim it back. Each of you will do this differently. We can give you certain techniques, but recognize that each person will go along the path differently. However, we absolutely guarantee you that when you discover who you've given the power to and why, you will be over the hill. You will be at the top of the hill. The rest will be downhill. The analogy we gave you at the beginning about the funnel that is connected to you through which your personal power filters and the obstacles or illusions that get stuck there which cause you to forget that you have it is very similar to this idea, meaning that another way to look at it is to look at that funnel and see what form those obstacles take. For instance, if those obstacles take the shape of constant problems with the government, then that's going to tell you you've given your power in that direction to the government. If those obstacles take the form of continued abusive relationships, for instance, then that will point you in the direction that you have given your power to another person in your relationships. Therefore, you are powerless in relationships, hence abuse. So in order to find out what it is, how you create those obstacles, look at first what they are. What form do they take in your life? Examine your life with a fine-tooth comb. What is the common theme? Those are going to represent the obstacles or the illusions that are distracting the flow of your own personal power, which is always there, distracting you from knowing you have it, and keeping other people as the holders of your power. Understand that. Know that. And when you can identify that, you can very actively and fully begin taking your power back. Before we go further, are there questions or clarifications on what we've said? Question. Yes, I got the impression that giving up power or giving it away or hiding it was a prerequisite for third density, physical earth experience. Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? This game that you play of hide and seek with your personal power is part and parcel of the game of third dimensional reality. Yes. Another question. I've been using the video arcade analogy in my own mind recently. Before we came into the arcade, we had to give the power away, and now we are standing at the video game trying to find out who we gave it to. Yes, and if you can't find who you gave it to and own that you gave it away, the actual claiming of it and mastering of it will be a lot more difficult. Question. This reclaiming of personal power is obviously one essential step in the transformation from third density to fourth. For comparative purposes, so that we can perhaps view this from a little different perspective, could you briefly describe the condition of personal power as it exists in fourth density? Well, let us rephrase that question, and you tell us if this is what you mean. As opposed to what you've just discussed about what is occurring on your planet now with giving away the power, you want to know where you are moving toward as personal power begins to be claimed. What is it going to look like? Question. Yes, that's a good start. Well, in some ways, it's going to be very, very alien to you because most of you are used to giving away the power. However, we will do our best to describe for you at least generally what it will be like. First of all, essential to claiming personal power is 100% ownership of everything that happens in your reality. So if you're in a car accident, if someone has embezzled from you, whatever, any situation that has come into your reality must be 100% owned. In the transition that you are moving toward now, the transition that we call the transition from third to fourth density, you're going to find that in that fourth density framework, everyone will be totally self-responsible for their lives. We are talking literally about an entire shift. It means you will no longer blame anyone. If you ever have to blame someone, you're not in your personal power. As an example, look at what this is going to do for the judicial system and lawyers. If there is a change and individuals are owning their realities, there will be no need for lawsuits. That is one very, very simple example. Imagine what it would be like for everyone in your world to 100% own and claim their lives and what happens to them. When that happens, you will also find that everyone on your world has 100% mastered their personal power. Do you follow this so far? Question, yes, and I'll let you keep going. One of the things that occurred to me is that when you learn to ride a bicycle, there is a point where you no longer have to think about your balance. Right now, we are experiencing individual issues about personal power. In fourth density, those issues, I assume, are handled. There are no longer challenges to that personal power concept, just like there are no longer challenges to balancing on a bicycle. Exactly. Question. So this is an issue that we go through, we get, and fourth density provides us with a whole different range of issues that then will not include this question of personal power. It is something we will have done. Yes, right now, what you're all doing on your world is that you're learning to ride without training wheels. For now, at least, you are still reminding yourself to keep in balance on that bicycle. However, very shortly, in many of your lifetimes, you're going to see a tremendous shift where you are no longer going to have to think about balancing yourself on that bicycle. It is going to be a natural expression of who you are. And so as the reality is claimed 100%, as total self-responsibility for the reality is taken by each person, they're going to learn to live that way rather than live through blame. And when they learn to live that way, they are truly, truly on the path of total mastery of their personal power. Very good analogy. Question, Jermaine. A lot of people will have a tendency to want to work on, for example, why would I have given the gun away? If it was self-doubt, I would then spend hours working on my self-doubt. You are suggesting instead that it might be better to merely take the gun back and confront the fear of having the gun? Question, of having the gun and through confronting the fear, you'll naturally go back to perhaps reliving the self-doubt. Yes, you will ultimately need to take the gun back and to feel what it is like to have it, even if it is fearful, before you can truly master the use of the gun. How can you master the use of the gun if you never pick it up? You know, we have said so many times that the thing you desire most is often the thing you fear the most. In this case, so many of you desire personal power, and that is the very thing you are afraid of. It will require you to claim that power, at least a little bit, to bring up the fear or the resistance to then cleanse it out, so that you can finally learn how to use it and become strong enough that usage. Do you follow? Question, I do. And it would seem obvious then that for many of us, this personal power that we need to reclaim may actually be back in the roots of our family, our mother and father. Oh yes, recognize that each and every one of you as children have role models in your mother and father or your primary caregivers, and that those role models are the first people that you ever encounter. And when you have as a little child who is hungry to learn, they pattern themselves after the first role model that they are presented. This is not a conscious thing, but this is what happens. And so if your parents have been patterned to give away personal power, perhaps your mother has been patterned that she would give up her power to the man, and the man has been patterned that he is the only one who can safely handle the power, this is going to be passed on to the children. And it is then going to be passed on to their children and down the line until conscious intervention happens. It can unconsciously be carried. So more than anything else, what we are talking about is a form of conscious intervention. It is the point of saying, aha, this is why I have not felt empowered. I will own this. I will thus, in the owning, change it. That commitment right there, that recognition, that ownership, that is the true point of power. Question, so the more that your primary caregiver tended to live in fear, therefore giving up their power in any area they are afraid, they give up their power to the person or thing whom they are afraid of. Exactly. Then the more you will be patterned to give up your personal power because you are following the dictates or models of your primary caregiver. Exactly. Now we recognize that there is really so much to share with you on this idea of claiming personal power. The time allotted in the article will not allow us to do so. However, we would like to give you some techniques to get the ball rolling so that those of you who are feeling disempowered, who really are looking for that mastery of your personal power, this will give you a place to start. The number one place to start in achieving personal power or reclaiming power is to begin with fear. We were just talking a few moments ago about the analogy regarding the gun. If you've given the gun to your mother and you want to get the gun back, if you want to get your personal power back, all the analyzing in the world about why you gave it away is not going to get you there. It is going to help, but it is not going to do it. You're going to need to be willing to ask your mother for the gun back, to be willing to hold it with the bullets and process your fear about your inability to handle that piece of power. The one single idea that can keep you immobile is fear. That one single idea must be confronted and addressed. So we are going to give you some exercises to help you work with your fear so that it will not seem so overwhelming to you, so that little by little, as you begin working with this fear, you will then little by little feel more and more self-empowered. The negative fantasy technique. The first technique we are going to give you is the least threatening one. This technique we call negative fantasy. This analogy with the gun is very good, so we're going to continue it through in these techniques. You will begin to see how the dynamics of personal empowerment and disempowerment play out. negative fantasy. What this means is that you're going to learn how to use the gun, and you are very, very afraid of the gun. And what you're going to do is go into a meditation or a fantasy. What you're going to do is imagine over and over again the worst-case scenario that you can think of regarding that gun. Now, we need to explain something here. Many people, when we talk about this technique, immediately say, "Wow, Jermaine, if I imagine that, it's going to happen." No, no, no. What you're going to be doing as you imagine this over and over again is blowing off any fear charge that you have. As you imagine it over and over again, you see that you are all right, and you see that the fear becomes less and less and less. You're going to feel more empowered and less disabled by fear. Just a quick statement here on how reality is created. Often people have thought, well, if I imagine it, I will create it. However, the mechanism is simple as this. Whatever you have the most energy behind will be what is created, whether this is conscious or unconscious. So if you have a lot of fear that you're going to accidentally shoot yourself and you're not willing to address that fear, the chances are more likely you will need to then confront that fear by shooting yourself. However, if through negative fantasy you seek to bleed off that held-in charge inside of you of the fear of shooting yourself, if you continue to process and imagine this and see that as the fear bleeds off, you're okay, then the loudest voice that speaks to the universe will be the voice of your confidence, not the voice of your fear. Then the likelihood of you shooting yourself will be a lot less. You draw to you that which you have the most charge over. You draw to you that which you fear most. If you process your fear, you will not draw it to you. We have given this technique to several people, and they have stated that as soon as they began using the technique, they started feeling a shift. They didn't feel as overwhelmed by their fear. You have to trust when you use this technique that you are in a process of releasing fear and becoming self-empowered. If you fear the power of your own thoughts, that is not an empowering thought. That will create you a situation to support your fear of your own thoughts. Negative fantasy is a very powerful technique to bleed off that overwhelming fear energy. It is like those obstacles blocking the way of the funnel. When you do the negative fantasy technique, you dissolve those objects. You start to dissolve those objects that are blocking the funnel so you can then begin to feel the flow of personal power energy coming through the funnel. If you don't dissolve the blocks, you can't feel it, and if you can't feel it, how can you ever hope to achieve it? We cannot stress to you how important facing and confronting your fears really is when you are attempting to master your personal power. Question. The only thing that I assume that is important is that you should get to the point where you feel that you want to blame the mother for taking your gun. You have to realize that you need to move through that blame until you recognize that, in fact, you had to give her the gun. Yes, that comes right down to what we're talking about, total self-responsibility for your reality. The minute you get into the game that they took it, no matter what the external appearances look like, you're going to perpetuate the cycle of blame and never become self-responsible, and then, of course, never claim personal power. Question. You were saying that you might find that there is a fear of personal thought. You could run the negative fantasy on that fear as well. Yes, interesting concept. If that is the thing that you fear the most, then that is the thing that you need to run that process on. Yes, there's another fear technique we'd like to share. The reason for giving this technique is because it puts the ball in your court, so that from a point of self-empowerment and personal power, you can then challenge your fear, and from that point of personal power, you are calling the shots with your fear. You are not a victim to your fear. This exercise is simply that we will ask you several questions. We suggest that the person doing the exercise get a notebook and answer the following questions. Four-step process. One, what do I fear? We suggest that the person list as many things as possible. This is including physical fears such as snakes or riding in a car. It also encompasses fear of success, fear of not being loved, fear of being abandoned. It is the tangible fears and the intangible fears. Write down as much as you possibly can. Take as long as you possibly can to do it. It's going to be very illuminating for you. Two, how does this fear manifest in my life? For instance, an answer to that question might be, when I'm in fear, I lash out at those I love. It is very important for you to identify the behavior that you engage in when you're in fear. Often you do not know when you are in fear because it is a behavior or an energy that you are used to. But if you can learn to identify your behavior patterns, you can then examine your patterns and know when you are in fear. That way, every time you lash out at someone you love, you are not going to know, aha, I must be in fear. And question, Jermaine, chances are those patterns will be the same for all fears, right? Yes, thank you very much. If you have 25 fears that you've just listed, the behavior that you engage in when you are in fear will be identical for all of those 25 things you've listed. Fear is fear. Once you've done the second question, started to identify your behavior, that is when you're going to start feeling a little twinge of personal power, because you're going to start to realize that you have the tool to recognize it, and so you have the tool to confront it, and you have the tool to heal it. The third question would be, 3, what possible value can I find for the expression of my fear? Let us reword this. What value can you ascribe to the expression of your fear? Example, your fear is extremely valuable because it points out to you when you are having tremendous growth opportunities. If you can identify through your behavior when you are in fear, you can stop and say, aha, this is an extremely valuable time right now because it signifies something for me to move through which will be tremendously empowering. Question, FDR said the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Yes. Question, do I get from this third question that what you are trying to do is to shift our viewpoint of having been afraid of fear to embracing that fear as something valuable in our transformation and our personal growth? When you can accept the value of everything in your life, including the negative, including the fear, that will be when you claim your power. Question, the point being that the thing that we have not wanted to confront is more the fear rather than the results of the fear. Yes, if you're talking about the gun, it isn't that we want to not confront the shooting, it is that we don't want to confront the emotion of fear that is associated with the gun. So you're trying to get us to confront the fear itself and embrace it. Yes, humans are more afraid of fear than the actual thing they claim they are afraid of, which is why people say whenever they've had, for example, a terrible car accident, they get through it and say, that's all there is? They can't believe how simple it is once they go through it. Going back to the beginning of what we were saying, how your ego develops, the minute your ego perceives a threat, it's going to protect you from that threat. Not only is it going to protect you from the threat, it's going to protect you from the feeling of being threatened. That means protecting you from feeling fear. So not only is your ego protecting you from the thing, it is also protecting you from the feeling of the thing, which is the fear. Fourth part, personify your fear. Take a clean sheet of paper, colored pens and pencils, crayons, whatever you want, and what you're going to do is personify your fear. Draw your fear. Give it a humanoid form, whether it looks like a witch or a vampire, an ugly monster. Make it ugly as a sinister and as sinister as you can, but still keep it having the appearance of human. This is a very, very powerful mechanism. What it's going to do is communicate to your subconscious mind and your ego that fear is on your level. We will call this fear Mr. Fear. You can call it Miss Fear if you want to. It doesn't matter. Mr. Fear, when personified, is like fear being revealed. It is now vulnerable. It now stands there in front of you, and you can see it at your height. It has two arms, two legs. It's something you can deal with. It's not this big black void. If there's no fun involved in this mastery, we suggest not doing it. If there's no joy, if there's no excitement, go back a little bit, work on something else until you can master the joy and the excitement. Because when you've truly committed toward mastery of that personal power, if you're truly committed and truly excited, then even the fear will be an exciting thing. That also will be a signpost to tell you whether you've really committed or whether you're still in the phase of trying to commit. If your fear is an exciting thing because it represents the path to your power, then you're full steam ahead. If not, then continue to search for the mastery of your fear before you go further. And once again, when you feel the excitement, you'll know you're ready. Each and every one of you carries this toolbox, and each and every one of you has equal chance of mastering these tools. We know you would not have set this up if you're not capable of achieving it, and we know that the rewards are great when you achieve it. You're a very persistent civilization. You will achieve what you're setting out to do. Persistence, patience, joy, and love. Enjoy your road to personal power, for there is a pot of gold at the end. Much love to you, and we send you a good day. And that's the channeling from Saint Germain. Actually, Germain. And now at this point in the program, I'd like to mention that for those who feel more comfortable calling in and asking questions on the internet, that I'm available at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And I'd like at this point in time to wish you my sincerest hopes for full consciousness, perfect health and abundance, and mastery of personal power and the illusion called fear. Have a great night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all. We become a part of all.
could run, I'd run to you, be with you, night and day. If I could take a train to be with you, I'd get my ticket now, today. Take a train.